Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another session of Ask Dr. Rhonda. I'm your host, Dr. Rhonda Waters, CEO of Mutare Hypnosis, where we help ordinary people make extraordinary changes. Our new show sponsor for Ask Dr. Rhonda programs is Mutare Hypnosis, located at 60 State Street, or also available globally by Skype. You can reach us at info@mutarehypnosis. That's info@mutarehypnosis.com. Be sure to look at our webpage for ideas on how hypnosis might help you and to call us for your free consultation at any time on 617-266-3057, and we'll see whether or not maybe we can help you. We work in all sorts of areas, things you may not have even thought of. This week's program is about a subject that many people seem to be struggling with lately. It's called cabin fever. According to North American Dictionary, cabin fever is irritability, listlessness, and similar symptoms resulting from long confinement or irritation indoors during the winter. Let me just say this about that. What? Cabin fever? What would our parents, what would our grandparents think? We're bored because we're stuck indoors. They were stuck indoors. We have cable TV, smartphones, electricity, running water, all kinds of fun-filled stuff that some of them didn't have. So let's put a reality slap on that and think about how to take control of the cabin fever aspect of life. That it's just something you get because you're kind of sitting around and you have to change your pattern. Maybe you'd like to have gone to work this week. Or if you're in the case of some of the people here in New England, you've got over 90 inches of snow in less than a month. And some people are concerned about work because they can't get there because in downtown Boston, the subway's shut down or partly shut down. That's a different thing. That's not cabin fever from being listless. That's cabin fever because your wallet's going to get shot because as quiet as it's kept, a lot of employers are not going to pay you after the first day or two that you can't get to work for whatever the reason is. Even if you're not fired or sent to have more formal discipline because of the situation, people just need to get to work. So that's a different thing altogether. The kind of cabin fever I'm talking about is something that you could organize yourself to avoid having. One of the things you might want to consider doing is getting yourself one of those bright lights. I got one years ago. I've talked about this before. I don't have seasonal affective disorder, but after a couple of weeks of not having the sun, you kind of start to miss it. So I got one of these small Verilux light, and I find it to be cheering, and it's not just the usual light, and it wasn't terribly expensive, and I think it might be worthwhile for a down-the-road thing. Got it from Amazon, so you look up a light for that and see if you might want to pick up one. If you have children with you, and a lot of you do because, well, this is school vacation week, and you might have had other activities planned, but with minus 24 degrees with the wind chill outside, you don't really want to skip around with the little people. That's not good for you either. It's a couple of suggestions you might want. And I always find it entertaining when people say, well, I don't know what I should do. We have the greatest research tool that's ever been seen on the planet at our fingertips. Go Google cabin fever and think of things, you could do with your kids. Now, depending on their age groups, this is one I picked up at My Home Ideas. You might want to look at their website. 10 Cures for Cabin Fever. They would say, and I would agree with them, skip the video games. You let them play a little bit, or if you play a little bit. But you want to do something that's more interactive and something that's different, if you will. It'll make things the day go by a little better. Some of their suggestions involve assembling a time capsule. Imagine if you have kids of a certain age, what that would look like. They're putting aside these things. You can put them in a jar or a box, seal them up, put them on a shelf. Date what you're going to, when you're going to be open. Maybe it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Now, if you have little kids there, they don't understand 5 years from now. But there's all kinds of things you can do. Making Play-Doh. Usually that's a simple flour and water mixture. It can be made at home. If you have a little food coloring, or even some of that frosting stuff they put on kids' cakes and stuff, you got some of that. You can make Play-Doh to make things out of. Putting on a talent show. You know your kids are talented. Make a little video of your kids dancing or singing or whatever. Those kinds of activities. You can do indoor camping. You know, you set up a tent in the living room, you know, do something. Okay, grown-ups could play indoor camping too. And that's no reason that these activities wouldn't be fun for grown people. So sometimes people say, oh, I don't want to do this or that. Niece of mine, she and her husband were going to do their dream board last weekend. What about setting up a picture book or a dream board for your family? One of the odd things that has happened as a result of a lot of us not having paper magazines much anymore is what we used to do when you're making a dream board is you'd cut up magazines that you had. If you don't regularly keep magazines, then but you can still look up pictures on the internet, print a few of them in black and white or in color, depending on what kind of printer you have, and use them to create a dream board. So even if you don't have magazines, old school magazines, but that is actually a purpose of having them, is that allows you to then just cut out a picture, much simpler, cut out a picture of something you'd like to have in your future and make a dream board out of it. And then you can backtrack a little bit and think, okay, how can I make this dream board into a real thing? There's a few small items you can get for crafting. If those of you who are crafty or would like to be crafty, I'm not real crafty, but I'm also never bored, so it's something for you to consider. I figure as long as I have my brain to entertain me with, I don't really need to worry about anything else. For those of us who are adults, although your children could help you with part of this process, if you haven't done your taxes yet, do your taxes. Get that background stuff together. Put the things together you need for your taxes. Get it all, set out. It's something you need to do. You could do it now. When the weather's slightly better in a couple of days, you could take it and have it done and get your refund back sooner than you might, if you were waiting around till April. There's no reason to be putting together your information. This is the end of February or middle of February. All of your statements should already be in hand. All the things we're waiting for, W-2s, W-9s, whatever, you should have them. Go do your taxes. And it might be a good time to explain to your children, if they're of a reasonable age or whatever language appropriate, what taxes are and why they need to pay them. Ask Teresa Giudice about why you need to organize your taxes more effectively. For those of you who don't know, she's one of these housewife reality folks. She says the reason she's in jail is because she didn't read the things that her husband gave her to sign. Well, they're both going to jail because they didn't pay taxes. So paying taxes is something you just have to do. Not paying extra is a good thing, but the only way you make sure you're not paying extra is to figure out whether itemization or the standard deductions work best for you. And the only way to do that is to actually itemize and do a stare and compare between the two. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm just going to take the standard deductions. Okay, you want to leave the government with $800 or more of your money? Okay, it's a freebie. Whereas you might, wind up on the wrong side of that. But if the standard deduction is better, then take that. But you can't tell unless you actually do the computation or you have your tax preparer do the computation. Something to consider. When you're trying to decide how not to have cabin fever, remember, it's just in your head. In the land before time, as I mentioned, we started this, when our parents or grandparents, they were out in the woods in some cases. They didn't have electricity, running water, indoor plumbing, all kinds of stuff that we would just go crazy if we didn't have. Sometimes it's just a way of shifting things in your head and just remembering. If you want to fill out, one friend of mine, whenever she says she's feeling like she has cabin fever or feeling stuck, and she fills out a gratitude form. Things to be grateful for. These are things both great and small, so it might be little things like I have electricity today. There's a bunch of people who, because of the snow and ice we've had, may not have electricity. There's people whose roofs are collapsing now because of the weight of snow on top of these things, because snow is heavy after a while. So sometimes it is actually sitting down to make a list of things you're grateful for, which might actually not be bad practice to do with your children periodically as well, considering how, what do they have to be grateful for? They may not even really know what gratitude is, because how would you know unless somebody told you? What is that something? How is that something that they would even know how to organize? Figuring out what to do about your own cabin fever can also spread onto your children, because as many things do as parents, we give a lot of our bad habits, if you will, to our children unintentionally. So when they hear you carrying on about cabin fever, and I know part of the reason some people feel shut in is they look at the weather. And I live in a place where it is actually important to know the weather. The weather does change, and it could be today is not a day you want to skip outside. Like I said, it's minus 24 with the wind chill. You need to be prepared for that. But once you know the weather, stop watching. Go on to something else. If you're home, get out your little Netflix thing or watch a video or do something else. You know, do some of the things you meant to do. Or do some house cleaning. Do something. Don't just sit there and wait for the malaise to pass. Doing something will make it pass very quickly. But considering how, you know, you'd like to organize yourself, go check, see what food you have to figure out what meals you can make. There are a couple of apps that you can use. I use the All Recipes one. You can put in two or three ingredients, and it'll tell you what you can make with these two or three ingredients. You go, something I hadn't thought of. Prepare a home-cooked meal for your family. Let your kids help you with the cutting up or whatever. There's things you can do to get you out of the cabin fever feeling, because it's just a feeling in your head. Most of us are not actually, stuck really in the house for an extended period of time. And what's an extended period of time? A day, 2 days, 5 days. I mean, there were places in history where, like I say, until we had electricity and running water, you just were stuck. There are a lot of rural areas where you actually were stuck inside. And the only entertainment these people had, what was the only book a lot of people had in their houses, was the Bible. Which is not a bad idea to get out. Whatever book of faith you have, if you have one, or some other positive book, get that out and read a page or two of it. Consider, actually think about what's in the book. Do something that will get your mind busy from sitting there thinking about, oh, poor me, I have cabin fever. If you have the ability to have cabin fever because you're in a warm, safe, comfortable place, that's a blessing. You have all the things that some people in other places of the globe don't have the option to have. And doing that, recognizing that, might be just enough to help move you in the right direction, because it's not really cabin fever. To me, is a self-inflicted. It's kind of like Bonnie will say, and I've heard other people say, boredom is. It sounds like a personal choice. You have the ability to use your brain to entertain you, so I would encourage you to do that. And that's part of the reason I wanted to talk about cabin fever. Now, there are those of us who are tired of shoveling snow. It makes no difference whether we're tired of shoveling snow. There is, in fact, snow that needs to be shoveled. We don't have to like it. It's kind of like brushing your teeth. You don't have to really like it. You just have to do it. So, and for those of us who, you know, it might be a health risk doing it, you have to shovel slowly. You know, I know there are people who like to wait till the storm is over, and I keep telling folks, I'd rather shovel 3 inches of snow 3 times than 10 inches once. So getting out there and doing it a little bit of time also might help you with your cabin fever. You got a little place you need to shovel off or clean off, go outside. Enjoy that fresh, bracing air after you put on your 52 layers of clothing. Enjoy that. Take your kids outside. Walk to the corner. Go to Dunkin' Donuts if you can go on foot or do something, you know, within walking distance and you don't have to plow out stuff. You know, just something simple. Go outside and stand in your backyard. You know, clear off a space on your deck so you can just stand there and take in a little fresh air. You don't have to, you know, go to work. And then when the time comes and you actually get the streets plowed and everything's put back together and you can go to work, you'll be going, I got to go to work. Oh, by the way, if you're telecommuting, because some people are actually able to do that, if you're telecommuting, get to work. What the heck? Now, some people, and I've talked about this in previous radio programs, everybody's not suited to telecommuting. Everybody doesn't like it. Some people think it's going to be a good idea until they actually start it, and then they wind up with cabin fever from being home all day. But if you're allowed to work from home and you are being paid for working from home, then get back to work so you can document the huge pile of work you've been able to get done because you haven't had any interruptions from your coworkers, running around the water cooler. That if you ever think you might want to work from home, that this is a way of your demonstrating to your boss that you are a responsible adult. You can work and be extremely productive from home without them there giving you the nudge and, you know, chasing you to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. Get busy getting to work, and that will take your mind off the stuff, that you don't feel like you're getting done at work. Because telecommuting is something you might want to try down the road. I want to thank you for listening to another session of Ask Dr. Rhonda. You know how to find me. It's info@mutarehypnosis. That's info at mutarehypnosis, mutarehypnosis. I hope to talk to you again soon. We'll have another program shortly. Thanks for listening.